Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written 4 books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And in that book, I talk about how I survived a 19-year marriage of domestic violence and wind up being homeless and raising my 4 children, starting businesses and living the life I now live. And then I went on to write Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past, to Free Your Future. Oh, I tell you, that is something when you get of a certain age, you'd be like, where am I? What have I done? I said, oh, my goodness. And, you know, I always, those of you that are my regulars, you know, I like having fun on the show and always, you know, inviting my audience to join in. But Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future, you know, it just says what it is. We have to forgive where we've been to move on to the next level. And I have contributing authors such as Tawana Williams, Les Brown, Malik Yoba, the actor, Dwight Pleasure, Sadie Pleasure, and a couple of other people on there. And Dwight's actually my guest for tonight. Then I have Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. Those of you that have young people that are going through identity crisis and have been molested or, you know, just going through changes. You know, this generation is nothing like how it was when we were growing up. When I was coming up, the worst you had to worry about was somebody snatching your lunch. Now you got to worry about everything else from guns and knives to sexuality and the bullying on the cyberspace. So much has changed and going on right now. So Restored Vessels is my book for young adults. And I am so excited. I can't hardly talk. I've uploaded on Kindle. I did it. Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose. Those of you who've supported me by listening into my show on a regular basis, thank you. Thank you so much for being there, because I'm here because you're there. So thank you so much for being there. But I appreciate it if you would go on Amazon and on Kindle, download Unlimited Possibilities, Walking in Purpose by Valerie Parker. You can put in Unlimited Possibilities and find it. Also, you can put in my name, which is Valorie. That's Valerie Parker. And you will be able to find that information. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I am also an author. My book is Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man, as well as a motivational speaker. And I am so proud of my girl putting her book up on Kindle by herself. I mean, she has been wanting and waiting for me to do it, but she decides to tackle that job, and she conquered it. See, I knew she could do it, but she just needed to step out there and do it. So I am so proud of her for doing that. And definitely support her. It is an excellent book. I remember when I got it as an e-book last year. So now you guys can just go out there and get it from Kindles and, you know, purchase her hard copy too, because it is an awesome book. Awesome.
Yeah. You know, I can't talk about unlimited possibilities if I limit myself. So I had to be first partakers of my own work. I had to launch out into the deep. And speaking about launching out into the deep, I have my dear friend, Dwight Pleasure, who's been in the business world for over 20 years. And he has a book called, or is it a CD, Dwight, called The Rock and the Rose? But his book is The Big Lie. And I met Dwight some years ago. He's one of Les Brown's platinum speakers. And we met years ago. We've had the opportunity to travel nationally and internationally. And for the last few weeks, you know, we've been talking about relationships and moving on and beginning again. And tonight we're going to talk about moving past the hurt. And Dwight is an excellent person to talk about that. Dwight, are you there?
Yes, I am. Dr. Valerie, how you doing?
I am good. It sounds funny with you calling me Dr. Valerie, because I'm used to you saying, hey, Val, Val, Val.
That'd be the the last time, I guarantee you, okay? So.
Oh, man.
So enjoy, okay? Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But Dwight, it is such an honor and a privilege to have you on my show once again. You're no stranger to Hot Topics from the Soul. We've had some series where we've talked about, you know, forgiveness and moving on, and I believe you're an expert at it. Although you're making a living doing real estate, I hear a lot of bumping around, so you could just kind of stabilize yourself so you can hear what I'm saying. You have written several excerpts and backed up several speakers by doing workshops. You do the storytelling workshop, and you just, you know, excelled. I remember when we was out in the Barbados. I always tell this story. But when we were in Barbados, we were asked to come in and speak for a corporate event. I think it was you, Johnny Wimbury, Shirley Davis, and who else was there?
You got pretty much everybody, I think. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, Leon Muhammad. He was on that trip?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Leon.
Yeah. We were there speaking for a corporate event, and, you know, all of those names I named were kind of like speaking, but not in the manner or level that they're speaking now. So we were there for a bank and a corporate, and this executive organization there on the islands of Barbados, and Dwight's time came up to speak. Dwight got so excited, he started preaching, and he came up, he was jump around and shouting, and he came down, he was like, How did I do? I said, you will never come with us again. I was so mad with Dwight, I just blew his buzz right off. I said, you will never come with us again. This is not church.
The show's about hurts, and you just stirred up and triggered him. One of the most devastating hurts I've ever had on the speaking circuit. So now, what is this going to do about that, Celie?
Well, see, that's why you're the perfect person to talk about that.
Man, I know what it's like to be hurt. So you want to ask me to forgive you now or when? When do you want to do that? Towards the end of the show?
Forgive me, Dwight. I'm so sorry that I bruised you and caused trauma upon your life these several years that you've been in the industry, but it caused a shift, which is one of the things we're going to talk about by moving past the hurt. Is a lot of times we go through situations and circumstances in our life that will make us or break us. It will cause a shift to occur, and it's up to us really to pull within ourselves from that higher power and that power that lies within all of us to move forward and not succumb by the devastation of that circumstances, but move on and learn from it and move on and create a life of greatness. Dwight, talk to us about that, please.
Okay, I will. Well, first of all, Dr. Val, it's a blessing to be on the call tonight, and to Shirley, it's good to hear your voice and to hear that you're moving forward in some of the pursuits and the purpose that God has for your life. And it's just a joy to be back on the call. And I'm excited even about this topic because we do a Friday night group at our church called Solutions for Life. And that's life is LIFE, living in freedom every day. And every week about 50 people come into the room and we discuss issues, not just drugs and alcohol, but some of the other issues of life that afflict people. And one of the things that we do is we have a 12-week study called Making Peace with Your Past, Help for Adult Children of Dysfunctional Families. And, of course, that includes just about every family because we all have some dysfunction in our families of origin. But the point of the matter is that it really talks about going back and resolving some issues. How many of y'all got issues out there? Hello, somebody, okay?
Yeah.
It's about resolving them, because many times when we don't resolve issues, they don't just go away. And no, it's not true. Time does not heal all wounds. There are some things that you have to go back, look at, grieve, resolve, and then you can move forward. So in that study, we talk about relationships quite a bit. So these past 3 weeks, or last week and the next two, I'm doing a series on relationships. And what prompted them to ask me to do it was we had a talk on forgiveness, and it's talking about forgiving people that from your hurtful past. And I was looking at that issue of forgiveness, and many times traditionally we look at the issue of forgiveness as the one that has been offended or the one that has been hurt. But I reframed that talk on that night, and I talked about the idea. First of all, I gave a little scripture about the prodigal son and how the son took all he had, went out, messed up his life, came back, and then I keyed in on the father's response when he came back. Rather than giving him judgment and condemnation, or tell him how could you have ran off and just wasted away everything, the son found unconditional love and forgiveness in the father. And I was sharing them, of course, I flipped it over to my story of when I had really went out and messed up my life and destroyed my relationship with my wife and children, and ended up coming back home after a 5.5 year separation, losing everything. And I talked about that moment at the airport, Val, where I was standing at this curbside, again, wondering who's going to pick me up, homeless.
Dwight.
Yes.
Dwight, not to cut you off, there are people that are listening that have no idea what your story is or can identify with the airport situation because they're not there.
Mm-hmm. Got
so
it.
Could you kind of...
Yeah. Well, in 1979, I became addicted to a crack addiction of smoking cocaine. And at that time, I was living in a beautiful home, had 4 cars, a couple Mercedes-Benz, licensed real estate broker, owner of a real estate firm, and my business partner was Johnny Rogers, who had won the Heisman Trophy in 1972. And my wife and I and 2 children, we were pretty much on our way to the top. And I talk about the time where I stood in the kitchen of a friend's house, took a hit of cocaine, and in the spirit of invincibility figured I could handle that drug. And I'm reminded of what Warren Buffett said when he said that the chains of habit are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. And two of those were broken. Because from that moment on, I became hopelessly addicted to cocaine. And in 1981, walked out on my wife and 2 children, went 500 miles up the coast of California, landed on the streets of Oakland and East Oakland, you know, geeking, tweaking, and freaking, as they say, and just caught up in the mix. And I OD'd 3 times, locked up, taken to jail on numerous occasions. I mean, I made a total mess of my life. This went on for about 5.5 years in that community of Oakland. And then after getting out of jail in 1986, I kind of had lost my heart for the cocaine game, but I still was out there using. Circumstances happened. My sister arranged for me to come to Southern California. And as I was saying before, by this time, I had been away from my wife and children for 5.5 long years, leaving them to fend for themselves. So here I am now. My sister arranges for me to come to Southern California. I get off the airplane with just the clothes I was wearing on my back. And I don't know if many of you on this line can wrap your minds around having had a tremendously successful early start, and then at the end of a 5.5 year run, standing someplace and you have absolutely nothing, lost everything, had really no money in my pocket, and I was sick in my body, and I was just a shell of this man that I once was. So here I am standing at this airport curbside, 40 pounds underweight, big circles around my eyes. I mean, I was a mess on two legs, wondering who's going to be there for me. The truth was, Val, nobody owed Dwight anything, because over that time that I had been gone, I had really destroyed every significant, and here's the key word, relationship. So I'm standing there, and I remember looking, and I like to share this part, and I was and coming around the corner in this old Chevy Nova car, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, was my wife, the woman I had walked out on. And till this very day, I can't understand, why would she be there for me? But it's been said that forgiveness is like the sweet fragrance that a rose leaves on the foot that crushed it. And when it comes to hurting someone, there is no question in my mind, I had really hurt my wife tremendously. And as I was sharing with them the other night, I found out as a result of this video, The Rock and the Rose, that when I was in Oakland, California, my wife came and brought my son up there to stay for Christmas holiday. So when she came to the door with my son, I was living in West Oakland at the time, she said that when the lady that I was living with opened up the door, she had a little baby in her arms. And when she looked at that baby, she realized and knew that that baby was mine. In other words, that's how my wife found out that not only had I messed up everything else, but I'd also fathered a child out of wedlock. And my wife said she came into the house and sat down, and she was looking around the room. She had sent our furniture up a few years earlier, and she said she sat there and looked around the room, and there on the wall were wall hangings that used to hang in our house. There were things on the table, the television, and all kinds of different items just reminded her of what I had done to her. She said she was sitting there watching that television, and she said she really felt like she wanted to just go over there and put her foot through that television. But, of course, that's not the kind of woman my wife is. So she said she left there and went back home. And literally, Val, she said she almost had like a nervous breakdown or a meltdown. She said her skin broke out, and she said her eyes were like bloodshot. And, I mean, she was really, really stressed out. And when I heard that story of what had happened to her and how my foolishness and selfishness had impacted her, I literally broke down and I cried. But what I'm trying to say is, there this woman is coming around this corner, and I remember she pulled up. I got in the car and leaned over and just kissed her like I've been on a three-day business trip. But ladies and gentlemen, and Val and Shirley, I had really, really hurt this woman. And to this day, as I said, I can't understand that kind of forgiveness. It was Ona Brown who said that true forgiveness cancels out all excuses for withholding love. And that's what my wife showed to me that day. She took me home. I went to sleep that night. I was tired. And the next morning when I woke up, again, true forgiveness cancels out all excuses for withholding love. I'm laying in this bed knowing I don't deserve to be there. And here she comes the next morning into the room, and she has a plate, and she literally gives me breakfast in bed.
Wow.
And I couldn't even enjoy it because I knew I didn't deserve that kind of love, that unconditional love. But here's my point. Unconditional love, when it's expressed, is something that I tell people this as well. I've been back home with my wife now for over 25 years. We've been married for 40 years. And when I talk about the unconditional love, my wife, who forgave me, she said it out of her own mouth, I forgave Dwight a long time ago. She has never once thrown in my face the wrong that I did to her and the wrong that I did to our children. And her unconditional love didn't drive me away. It drew me closer to her. And many times, Val, in relationships, we have people that refuse to forgive the one that has offended them, that refuses to let them live past whatever hurt and pain that was caused in that relationship, even after they have said, forgive me, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many times it causes problems. And then, of course, the brothers, you know, we come back, and I came back, and I'm, like, thinking to myself, okay, she forgave me, therefore, you know, everything should be okay now. But forgiveness happens in a moment many times. But regaining and rebuilding trust takes time. It takes grace. It takes truth. It takes time in order to rebuild relationships. And so for the past 25 years, we have literally been rebuilding and mending and reconciling our relationship. And to God be the glory.
That is powerful, Dwight. And I always talk about processes. You know, people get into situations and circumstances in their lives and they want instant gratification, feel like. Just like you said, oh, I'm sorry, you think so. There, it automatically feels that everything should be forgiven, that, you know, there's no consequences to the actions. But that's not always true. What effect did that have with your, you know, you explained and shared a little bit with your wife, but what effect did it have on the children? Because there are listeners here in the radio land that are going through situations and have gone through and have children, but don't think about the consequences. Like within my situation, Dwight, with me being a survivor of domestic violence and raising four children, My kids are now 27, 28, 29, and 30, and I'm still seeing some of the residues from the domestic violence and things that they went through, like the insecurities that some of my kids are experiencing, the unsureness of themselves and the abruptness sometimes, the anxiousness. These are residues and how they handle their relationships. They're no nonsense, no tolerance in the relationship because they've witnessed some things and they've said to themselves, I'm not going to do this. No one is ever going to hurt me like that. So you don't know when these things will manifest, and as they're growing up, it seems like you've conquered and been able to make your way through, but then the reality of it is, they show up, and what do you do when it shows up?
Right, right. Well, you talked about the relationship with the children, and I think I've shared before. On that same morning that I came home, it was my daughter, who was 2 years old when I had left her and her brother and mother, and now she's almost 8 years old. So she comes running into the room, and I said, baby, I said, why are you running? So she comes up to the bed, and she says, Daddy, she said, I just wanted to make sure that you were still here. So my daughter, who really never had a chance to bond with her father, her response to me being gone so long was quite different than my son. She came running up to me and wanting to embrace me and really wanting to basically make up for lost time as far as the time I had been separated and her inability to bond with me. But my son, Val, he was like 5 when I left home. So he had a chance to really experience his father to some degree, to bond, to go through, you know, some of the things that the experiences that we had up until that point. And his response was the total opposite of his sister's. He was not rushing in the room talking about, Daddy, I wanted to make sure you were still here. He was still dealing with some issues of anger due to the separation and even probably wondering why I even left and maybe even thought that some of it had to do with him. So our children in that family of origin, they many times come up with different perceptions and different outlooks on life. But here's something that I learned just a couple of weeks ago, and it's very true. In our family of origin that we grew up in, the home that we grew up in, there was a certain ambiance, for lack of a better word, a certain feeling that home felt like. So even when you go out to the marketplace, you come in, there's a certain spirit, that's the better way to even put it, that you kind of incorporate, that you kind of become connected and attached with. And here's the thing. So many times we leave our family of origin and go out, like you say, and begin to live our lives. It's real interesting that that spirit becomes a familiar spirit. So when we're in situations where we have to respond a certain way, rather than respond appropriately sometimes, we respond the way we would have responded in our home, in our family of origin, and it's hard for us to, like you say, to shake the residue of who we became as we were growing up. And that's a deep thing. I'm telling you, it's a real deep thing. That's why we see people grow up and get into relationships with people that had a totally different ambiance, a totally different orientation in terms of their home of origin, and they come up and they match with somebody that's on the total other end of the spectrum, and you wonder why that relationship can't seem you can't seem to cleave unto that person. That's because many times unresolved issues are prevalent in both sides of the relationship. But no one gets a clue and says, you know what, rather than us just fighting and banging heads, let's decide what we're going to do together to deal with some of those things that we've gone through. In other words, get some help. Not because you're necessary, but because you want to remain strong. Because that family of origin situation, until you deal with some things to allow you to be freed up from that mindset that you incorporated as a child. And we can be, that's why we're able to look and see people 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and there's some parts of them that never changes. Why? Because at that point of where they were acclimated to that mindset, nothing ever challenged that mindset. Nothing ever happened that allowed them to break off and to get rid of some spirits and some attitudes and some issues that end up causing them to shipwreck and sabotage relationships. Or, this is the last thing I'll say, or they grow up with something rooted down in them that causes them to be toxic to other people. And sometimes toxic when we have a blind side and we don't even realize we got this craziness going on. But people outside of our experience and having their own experience and vantage point come and try to merge and connect with us, and this wall comes up, and rather than try to fight through that wall, they just turn and detach and go in another direction.
Wow. That was powerful, Dwight. And see, that's why I said you're the right one to tie up this session, because of the fact that so much is happening, so much is going on, and there are so many whys. Everyone wants to know why this happened, why this occurred, why people just snap. It's because there's a lot built up, there's a lot that hasn't been spoken, and when it does come out, it lashes out, and it's just as bad as pulling a trigger, because it is so devastating to individuals that it's almost irreparable.
Right, that's right. Until we get some help in those particular areas. Again, time does not necessarily heal our wound, and time does not necessarily take care of strongholds that we have. And sometimes, again, we have these blind spots and are not necessarily even aware of some of the things that we do and say and some of the attitudes that we have that don't cause people to want to connect with us, but cause people to want to get as far as they can in another direction. And the sad thing about it is that we are able, or rather the thing that allows us to kind of get close enough to these other people is that when we first show up in the relationship, the real you doesn't show up. The real person doesn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
They got the fig leaf on. And the fig leaf syndrome is about hiding behind a facade, hiding behind a persona, hiding behind a lie. In other words, when Adam and Eve went into the garden and they put on the fig leaves around them as if they were like a fig tree, all they became was two lying trees. Trees that showed one thing, leaves on the outside, but it was a messed up person down on the inside. So in relationship, Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, where he talked about the outside of the cup is dressed up and ready to go to the party, but the inside of the cup is filled with all kinds of lying and hypocrisy. But the key thing about cups is this. You can look at a cup from across the room and say, oh, that's a beautiful cup. And you can come a little bit closer and say, oh, that cup has some nice writing on it or some nice words, or even might have a scripture on the front of it talking about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Continue to get closer to that cup. You get close enough because now, you know, you think it's safe to go
Something's
up to the
going window. On with your volume, Dwight.
I don't know. You think it's safe to go into the water again, and then you get close enough to that cup to look down on the inside and see that there's some coffee been sitting down in there for 3 or 4 weeks, and it's actually beginning to grow hair. In other words, once you see the inside of the cup, and see it for what spirit it is, that causes you to say, I'm out of here, and you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, that's what we got all these honeymoon surprises up here. You know, that's all to talk about I do, and get on the honeymoon, and some of this other stuff inside the cup starts to spill over and spill out, and you realize, ooh, that stinks. Ooh, I don't like that. And it's too late to deal with.
Right. And, Dwight, I wanted to comment something on when Val talked about how the relationship, how it rose into the family and to the children and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to your story, one of the things that I pull out of it is that a lot of the effects as far as the children, in your absence, your children watched how your wife reacted during that whole time.
Right.
And when you came back, how she opened up unconditionally and received you back into the home. So
right.
I think that helped put a big positive spin on your children. You know, like you said, your daughter coming in and excited to see you and want to make sure you were still there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talked about your son not coming in the room, but he was more cautious about it. But
right.
I think in the midst of all of that, they both still paid very close attention to their mother and
right.
her reaction to your presence in the home. Am
absolutely.
I feeding into the right direction on that one?
You absolutely are. They were able to observe her reaction, but you have to remember that for her to get to the place where she was at, when a person is able to really, truly, from their heart, forgive like that, after being wounded and hurt so bad, that takes a level of maturity in Christ and in just who you are as a person in terms of your character to be able to do that. So it might be sometimes when people are younger or their mindset isn't there, they really can't even understand how or why you forgave. Because you got to remember, there were people that when I came back home and she was showing that kind of tough love and forgiveness, they really thought she was crazy. You better not trust him. He's going to hurt you again, and you should have left him in the first place. So everybody's mindset, even the children, don't necessarily get there. It's kind of like we say, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. part of what that means is that we, as we train up a child the way they should go, we tell them the right way, they see the right way, we demonstrate the right way, but for whatever reason, they don't get it when they're younger. But as they grow older, then many of the things that we have taught them growing up begin to seep and filter in, and then at a certain point in time, when they mature to a certain level, then they begin to demonstrate and exhibit some of the same characteristics of the model that they saw growing up. Now, this can happen in a positive way, and it can happen in a negative way. And that's why you see kids grow up sometime and go crazy because they saw daddy go crazy at a certain time in his life. And they have not broken the cycle of insanity that they saw growing up in their house. That's why you see the sins of the father being repeated by the sons and the sins of the mother being repeated by the daughter. It's not that they didn't see a certain example. It's just that the voice or the example was stronger in their minds in a negative direction than they would embrace them in a positive direction. And you can flip the script on that and go either way.
Wow. I had posted on Facebook a few weeks ago about inheritances out of ignorance, that a lot of the things that people say in generational curses or inheritances that were passed down will be simply because of the ignorance. There are things that we weren't taught, we weren't understand, and then we don't want to go get help to understand, and we won't read. To understand. So that's where the generational thing passes along, is the embodiment of the knowledge that you acquire along the way, along your journey, this game called life.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, you're right. So, Shirley, I hope I kind of hit on it. I might have missed, but
No, you did hit on it. You hit dead on it, because that's, you know, I really honestly feel that, you know, when it comes down to our children and everything, they only mimic what they've seen, and then they also guard themselves from what they haven't seen, because the fear of the unknown, that to them, like, how did this relationship get to that point? What happened with mom and dad? And so as they get older, you know, they begin to put up barriers to protect themselves, and they run from certain things instead of facing them and say, okay, let's work this out. Let's see what's really going on. And their first instinct is to cover and protect and to guard, you know, but that comes from over the years, like Val was saying, dealing in a domestic relationship or where the family dynamics break down and you got children involved in it. You know, even when they're little, like you said, your two-year-old, they still hear and see things that we sometimes take for granted, that, oh, they're too young, they don't understand. Oh, yes, they do understand. They begin to internalize that stuff as they get older and they start to act it out in an older age.
Right, absolutely. And so they go through the cycles, like from, you know, and as our world gets bigger, then becomes the more and more of a challenge to deal with it. For example, kids grow up, they're pretty much, their world is pretty much in the house and around the house or in the car. And they have a certain, you know, perspective of life and the world. And then all of a sudden they end up going to kindergarten and they're off to school. And now they're in this big old place and this big old space. And I don't think we realize what a shock that can be to our children in terms of their, you know, picking up fears, picking up doubts, uncertainties. And then so as life goes, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. Then they go to junior high, then the high school. And then when they go, the years from 18 to 22 are the years at which they really should be about thinking about this transition into the whole thing called life and taking the whole world on. And for many young people, that is such a fearful thing that they shut down and they really cease to allow themselves to continue to develop into this individual that has to at some point leave and cleave. And we as parents, we really don't get it either, because we continue. When a child gets to the point to where they are an adult, that means that the period for you in this one-up, one-down relationship where they needed someone to parent them, that is a job that you're really supposed to work yourself out of. In other words, telling you to brush his teeth, clean his room, and all that other kind of stuff, there's a season for that. And when that season ends, many times we don't discern the times and the seasons in our children, and we really continue to treat them in a one-up, one-down relationship, telling them what they need to do, being their parent, when we really should begin to make the transition with them and begin to see them as an equal adult. Still your child, but you're not now a parent figure. So then you begin to relate to your child. I was sharing with someone in a group just what I'm telling you. She said she was having problems with her 19-year-old son that was really, she should have been relating to him as a man, but she was relating to him as a child, and as she was an authority figure over him. So they had a lot of challenges. She went back home the next week, and she said she started to talk to her son from a perspective of seeing him as another adult person that she would relate to on an equal plane one-on-one. She said the change in his behavior was miraculous. Because why? He's trying to be an adult. You're treating him like a child, and that part of him that knows he needs to become this adult, it begins to kick against that authority. And we call it, you know, something else, when all it is you're really suppressing a man from becoming a man, or a woman from becoming an adult woman, in terms of how you relate to them. So as you begin to relate to them in the direction that you know they need to go and then they need to be, then they become more of how you relate to them. So if you keep them in a one-up, one-down situation, they never get the confidence, they never get a sense that you feel that they can handle being an adult. Now, that was phenomenal right there.
That was phenomenal, Dwight. That was great.
Yes.
We are talking to Dwight Pleasure. He's a motivational speaker, author, facilitator, coach. If you want to have any questions or comments for Dwight, press 1, and we'll be able to tune you in, join you into the conversation. Hold on a second. I have caller 5071. You're live.
Good evening, Val. Good evening, Dwight. I appreciate what
I
heard from
you. I need some more volume.
You need some more volume from me?
Yes. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, a little better.
Okay. It's interesting to hear what I heard, the comments that you made. I'm also a product of a broken home, and it didn't happen for me until I was 18 years old. But I have a younger sibling by 4.5 years. And one of the things that I've often tried to get my parents to understand, my father's now deceased, but my mother's still alive, is that the impact on my younger brother, because he was still at home, I was away at college when this happened, was traumatic, because he had to deal with the fact that his parents were now no longer occupying the same home that he had grown up with in all of his life. And no matter what was going on in their world, they totally destroyed his world, and they were not relating to him or paying attention to the impact that it was having on him as a child growing up and maturing into a future adult. And he still to this day carries a lot of that baggage and resentment because of what happened to him.
Right, right. Yeah, and you hit it right on the head when you talked about the fact that when they went through that divorce, it shattered his world. Because it goes back to what I was sharing with Shirley earlier in terms of how when we grow up, there's a certain sense of spirit that we get about what home is, what reality is, and what life is all about. And for that to be abruptly taken away and changed, and now it's a whole new script, we don't internally make that shift as fast as it happens in real time. And that's exactly what you're saying. So we get stuck, and we do this. We react to it. And what I hear you saying is that your brother reacted. He kicked against it. He did not really, you know, go with the flow because it's not supposed to go like that. He was supposed to grow up like you did, get to a certain point, and move on. You follow me?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and it was even more traumatic than that. You're talking about living in the suburbs and then having to move back with mom to the inner city, which is a totally change in your environment, and you're in an area or a time of your life that is so developmental for your future. And as parents, we are so tied up into what's going on with us and our individual situations, we don't really understand the impact that it's having on our offspring and the people around us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're hurting and in pain, and nobody's really there for them. And that's one of the things young people always say, no one was there for me or you weren't there for me. And I'm sure in a perfect world, the parent would have recognized that and took some steps to help the child make the adjustment. But again, as Valerie said, we're living life sometimes so fast and doing all we can to just kind of handle our own lives. Many times there isn't enough of us to be there sometimes for those that need us in those crucial transition periods like you're explaining about your brother.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. I have a caller holding 2230. You're live.
Hello, Dr. Valerie. I'm telling you, you and Dwight, this is Captain Mark. I miss you so much, Dwight. I miss you so very much, my friend.
My brother, how you doing, Captain Mark? Good to hear your voice, brother.
Thank you so much for joining in.
Likewise. I know your story, and your story, as you know, is very similar to mine, with the exception of one part, in that my wife, I tell her all the time that if the shoe were on the other foot, there's no way I would have waited for her. There's no way I would have put up with that crap. There's no way I would have taken her back. So I know that my wife is insane.
Right.
No question about it. I tell her all the time that she had to have been insane to allow me to come back. But aren't we so very, very blessed to have a wife like this that I understand? It's been a good 12 years for me now since I've been back home. But I'm still answering in pain for the problems that I created. And trying to do some repair work.
Yes, absolutely. It's like an ongoing process. And I can really agree with you when it comes to, I have had that thought, that mindset, that thought of, would I have been at that airport for her after the trauma?
Right.
I had to be totally honest with myself and basically say, I don't think I would have been there. I mean, I had been and moved, and I told her to move on. But by the grace of God, she chose not to. And I think we're both glad that she didn't. She was, you know, under the counsel of a lot of relatives and friends. They said, you know, you need to move on with your life. You need to go on. And she just chose not to move on. It wasn't so much all just about me either. It was about the children in terms of other relationships. She didn't want to see, to allow our children to see her allowing all these different relationships with men coming into the home. So it was a protective part of her for her children, combined with the grace of God. But it, so it wasn't so much about, I'm so in love with Dwight, I'm going to wait on him. It was some other priorities that she had. And God, who's able to make all things work together for good, allowed her to be there with the mindset that she had when we began our restoration process. And the good thing about it is that I was so weak and fragile when I came home that I really couldn't have handled her interrogating me. Or not that she didn't deserve answers. Don't miss my point. She deserves some answers. But I would have probably took off out the door and just kept it moving because I couldn't have dealt with it. And I tell people all the time about one time I got just fed up with everything, and I just called myself, I said, I don't have to take this. And I ran, I went to the front door, and when I stepped out on the porch, it was winter time, and it's like God prepared a chill north east wind to come cut my mind, and I felt that cold chill when I got out that door. I looked up the street and down the street. I said, I ain't going nowhere. I turned around. I walked back in the house. I said, I'm going to bed.
Oh, my God.
And thank God that I didn't just keep walking. Where was I gonna go? Come on here. So.
Oh my God, that is funny. Well, I don't want to take up more of the radio time, but I just wanted to chime in and thank you for that. I'm still working on those relationships with my children also.
That's a
very, very, very parallel story there, and just it's a work in progress. And just keep on doing it. Thank you so much.
Man, God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much for that comment, Dwight. We're almost out of time, but I'm going to take one more caller. Caller 1571, you're live.
Hello, everyone. This is Eloise, Valerie, and Dwight. This is such a pleasure.
Yeah. Hello, Eloise. How are you?
I mean, Dwight, you have given so many pieces of wisdom tonight, and Valerie, you just pulled it apart. Because a lot of times we would tell people, don't forgive him, he did you wrong, move on. And now that I'm older, I say to people, you have to decide, make up in your mind, because a lot of times the women who forgave the husband and let him come back home, things worked out for the kids and for everybody. So if you can forgive that person and work it out, like Dwight and Captain had that good experience, it's such a blessing, and you can tell others about it. I love this.
Thank you so much, Eloise. God, so good to hear your voice, and you're absolutely right. And people ask me, how have you guys made it for 40 years in your marriage? And I just basically tell them what you just said, Eloise. I said, make up your mind that no matter what you go through in your relationship, that you're going to just have to work it out, whatever it is. And that's basically what we've had to do in order to continue to be showing up at the same address 40 years into the marriage.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's another show in itself, because what do you do with the residual? What do you do in the rebuilding stage? And when it gets too hot, Dwight, you said you had got so furious and felt like the world and everybody owed you something, you were going to get mad and just walk out until you got a cold chill up your spine. But what happens, when, you know, you have nowhere else to go and that person has to deal with you, with who you are, the pulling back of the layers? Because I know there's rows and rows of emotions that have gone through and went through during that situation. So what do you do with that? How do you recover from that? It's a very hard thing to have to go through. It's a process. Nobody wants to work through the process. They'd rather walk away and build another relationship, a half a relationship with someone else, not a whole relationship, because of the fact that they take the baggage with them and make that person pay for some of the things that happened in the prior relationship, because healing hasn't taken place. Acknowledgement and ownership hasn't taken place. So that's another show all in itself, owning your stuff. What did you do and how did you work it out and how did you begin again? Owning your stuff. Dwight, I'm running out of time. We always run out of time when we're doing Hot Topics from the Soul. But share with the audience anything that you're doing now, any events coming up, any storytelling events you're in charge of, so and how people can get a hold of you and your books you have, your Rockin' the Rose, if you can give an identification of what those are.
Right. Okay, thanks, Val. First of all, I appreciate this opportunity to be on your call tonight. But the main event that we have coming up, and it's actually coming up on the 7th and 8th of June, and we have a total speaker workshop that we're going to have. And it's going to be a two-day experience here in the city of Moreno Valley. And anyone interested in more information about that, I've got it blasted on Facebook, on my Facebook page, Dwight Pledger. And also it's at a website called www.totalspeakerworkshop.com. TotalSpeakerWorkshop.com. And one of the main things that's going to happen, and I'll just share this, is that we're going to have a young lady who I have been coaching for about the past 6 weeks, right? And it's interesting how this thing with these three girls that they found, actually this person that I'm coaching was abducted for 5.5 years in a house, just like these girls were. And nobody knew about it, and she miraculously, by the grace of God, she gives God the glory, was able to escape. But hers was more of ritual abuse and just cutting and animal sacrifice. Valerie, I have never heard a more compelling story since I've been running around with this whole storytelling thing. She has already gotten her ticket and plane fare and hotel room. She will be at the conference. And we're going to do a special thing on that Saturday night. I'm going to do a story interview with her and take the people that are in the audience through her story of how she went through this abduction for 5.5 years up in the city of Oakland that I'm very familiar with.
Wow.
And it'll be a powerful, powerful story. I was shaking my head. I have never heard anything so powerful. So the hand of God is all over this story. Big time. So this, I've been doing this with her for 6 weeks. So when this thing comes out, what it's going to be able to do is when she shares her story that night at our workshop, it's going to make it much more believable because they're going to hear how the exact same thing happened and how we dissected all of that. Because before she had, you know, timidity about wondering if people would believe her. But it is true. And as we speak, there are people probably that have been abducted in houses right now, and they've been there for years, and that's crazy.
Wow.
So go to www.totalspeakerworkshop.com. We're going to have some incredible people that are coming. We have Renisa Martin who's coming, and she wrote the book, Don't Hit My Mama, where she talks about growing up in a house of domestic violence and abuse, some of the worst abuse I'd ever heard of in terms of someone inflicting on another person. She wrote a book, and she'll be at the workshop. So we're going to have a very, very powerful time. And, of course, Dan Smith is going to co-host and co-facilitate the workshop. So June 7th and 8th, go to the site, get more information, call me, and we can talk about it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Dwight. And, again, those of you who missed Dwight's information, DwightPleasure.com is his website, and TotalSpeakerWorkshop.com.
Dwight,
and also
DwightSpeaks.com. There you go. Thank
you so much, Dwight. Or you can always email me at SoulTopics@gmail.com, SoulTopics@gmail.com, and we'll get that information over to you. Dwight has studied under the best, and he has mastered the storytelling thing. He's about as good as less, if not better, because he really extracts that story out of you. So, Dwight, I salute you, and I thank you so much for getting up and not allowing me to stop you, but push you to that next level.
I still got a cauliflower ear from you grabbing me by my ears. And come here, boy.
I was like, I know you can do better. I know you can do this, Dwight, and I'm not going to let you do this to yourself. You will not travel with me again unless you get it together. And I walked away.
being hard on me, and you like my family of origin. I had a strict mama, okay? But I need
all
I
right.
Need.
So, okay. Those of you listening, join us next week on another Hot Topics from the Soul, and go to Kindle and buy my book, Unlimited Possibilities by Valerie Parker. Thank you so much, and good night. God bless.
All right,
God bless. Good night.